So I was looking through the articles you sent over, and it's quite something, isn't it? A local council decision in Farnborough and Aldershot touching on really fundamental rights.
Yeah, it really is. We're talking about the Labour Council there looking at, well, regulating things like street preaching, public prayer, even handing out Bibles in public spaces.
Right. Which might seem unexpected for some people, those particular towns, but it's happening.
Exactly. And that's what makes this a great topic for a deep dive, I think. Gets right to that core issue. How do we balance, individual freedoms with what the broader community expects or needs? These news reports we're using as sources, they really paint a picture of the complexity. So our mission really is to unpack that, look at the why behind it, the different reactions, and what it all means for that, well, that balancing act.
Absolutely. We need to dig into the council's reasoning, how people in the community are actually feeling about it, because the sources show it's definitely not a uniform reaction.
Not at all.
No.
Mixed bag.
And then there's the legal side, which sounds complicated. Plus, maybe looking back at the history of street preaching in the UK, does that give us context?
I think it does, yeah. And we should also touch on the tightrope local governments walk here, maybe explore some alternative ways faith groups could engage, and of course, the impact on the religious communities themselves there.
Okay, sounds good. Let's start then. What actually kicked this whole thing off? Why did the council decide to act now, according to the sources?
Well, the articles point towards growing concerns about essentially public order, keeping things running smoothly in Farnborough and Aldershot.
Public order, meaning disruption.
Yeah, basically, the council apparently got more and more complaints about disruptions tied specifically to street preaching, especially in busy town center areas.
Ah, so it wasn't necessarily what was being said, but more the time and place, the
Yeah.
impact on passersby.
That seems to be the main thrust, yes. Your sources mentioned reports, anecdotes really, from people saying they felt uncomfortable. Some even felt, well, maybe intimidated or harassed by these activities in crowded spots. And it was that feedback, those experiences people shared, that seemingly pushed the council to review their rules around public expressions of faith.
Even though, as you pointed out, there are laws protecting freedom of speech, including religious speech, that you
Absolutely.
know.
That's a key point in one of the articles. UK law does generally protect that. So the council isn't, or at least they say they aren't, trying to stop religious expression altogether.
Right, it sounds more like they're trying to manage how and where it happens, setting some boundaries.
That appears to be the council's official line, based on the reporting. They're framing it as finding a balance, respecting religious freedom, but also making sure the town centers are peaceful, welcoming places for everyone.
A common challenge, I suppose.
It really is. And, this situation in Farnborough and Aldershot, it doesn't exist in a vacuum. It definitely reflects those wider debates we see in Britain and elsewhere, too, about religion and public life, different views clashing, and what community welfare actually means in practice.
Okay, so complaints come in, people feel uneasy, the council decides it needs to step in. What were the main factors driving that specific decision by the Labour Council based on what we've read?
The sources suggest it was really a mix of things. Legal considerations, definitely. Sociopolitical factors, and just those very practical on-the-ground community issues.
You mentioned incidents earlier. Without getting into lurid details, what kind of things are we talking about? What fueled the tension?
The reports talk about confrontations. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean physical fights, but more like heated arguments. Preachers and members of the public getting into it, debating religion or beliefs right there on the street.
Ah, okay. So situations making people feel awkward or maybe even unsafe?
That seems to be the gist of it, leading some people to ask the council to, do something.
And legally, how do they justify potentially restricting this, given those free speech protections we talked about? What's the argument?
That's the tricky part, the balancing act. National law protects free speech, including religious expression, no doubt. But the council also has a duty to think about the impact on the wider community, public harmony, public order.
So individual rights versus community peace.
Kind of, yeah. They have to weigh the right to preach openly against other people's right to just go about their business without feeling, well, hassled or disrupted. And there's legislation, the Public Order Act 1986.
Ah, yes, you mentioned that.
Right. It gives local authorities some power to manage public gatherings if there's a real risk of disorder or nuisance. So the council would likely argue their proposed rules fit within that ensuring safety and comfort.
But defining disorder or nuisance sounds subjective.
Hugely subjective. And that's often where the legal arguments really happen. It's not always clear-cut.
So maybe it's less about the message and more about the manner of delivery. Time, place, volume, that kind of thing.
That seems to be the subtle distinction they're trying to make.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the whole sociopolitical angle. Farnborough and Aldershot, like lots of the UK now, are pretty diverse places. Different faiths, different cultural backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
So the council, trying to foster, you know, community cohesion, has to think about how completely unrestricted street preaching might land with all these different groups. The sources suggest this move is partly about trying to create an environment where everyone feels respected.
It's definitely layered. Lots going on there. Okay, what about the actual people living there? How are they reacting to all this? What do the sources say about community voices?
Predictably, perhaps, the reaction is split. Quite divided, actually, based on the reports. You've got residents who are supportive. They see it as, well, a sensible move, good for public order, respectful of different beliefs.
People may be bothered by the noise or intrusion.
Exactly. Concerns about preaching, feeling intrusive, or just disrupting the general atmosphere of the town centers. There was that quote in one of the articles.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Something like, I get free speech, but...
Yes, that's the one. The resident said something like, while I understand the importance of free speech, there is a time and a place for everything, and the streets are not always the appropriate venue for actively promoting one's religious beliefs to passersby.
That really sums up one side of it, doesn't it?
It does. It captures that feeling that public spaces should maybe be more neutral, more secular.
But then, obviously, there must be strong opposition, too.
Oh, absolutely. Big time. Opponents see this as a clear attack on their fundamental rights. Freedom of religion, freedom of expression. The sources highlight local religious groups being very outspoken.
Asserting their right to share their faith publicly.
Precisely. And their argument generally is that they aren't causing any harm. In fact, they see it differently.
How so?
Well, the sentiment expressed is more like, we're offering hope, or we're sharing our deeply held beliefs. There was a quote from someone in a local religious organization basically saying that.
Right. We're not causing harm.
We are offering a message of hope. Something along those lines. It really underlines their positive intent, as they see it, and their conviction that public preaching is vital to their faith. Which, you know, raises that tricky question, who defines harm or nuisance?
Yeah, a definite clash of perspectives there.
Totally. And the sources also mention community leaders stepping in, calling for talks, trying to find compromises.
Well, any specific ideas floated?
One idea that came up was maybe designating specific zones. You know, particular areas where street preaching would be permitted.
Ah, like a designated speaker's corner type of thing?
Sort of, yeah. As a way to maybe allow the activity but contain it, addressing the disruption concerns.
Interesting potential compromise. But let's circle back to the legal side. You called it a legal maze. Can we unpack that a bit more? What are the core legal points here?
Okay, yeah. So number one is probably the Human Rights Act 1998. Crucial piece of law. It brings the European Convention on Human Rights into UK law. And Article 9 is key.
Article 9, freedom of religion.
Exactly. Freedom of thought, conscience, and religion. And importantly, this includes the right to manifest your religion or belief, publicly or privately, through worship, teaching, practice, observance.
So restricting street preaching could directly clash with that.
Potentially, yes. It sets up a potential legal challenge right there. Anyone feeling their Article 9 rights are unfairly limited could argue the council's actions are unlawful.
Okay. And the Public Order Act, how does that fit in again?
Right, the Public Order Act 1986. We mentioned it gives councils power to impose conditions on public assemblies if they can prevent disorder, nuisance, or disruption to community life.
The key word being if.
Exactly. The council would need to demonstrate a genuine risk. They can't just say, we don't like it. They'd need evidence that the preaching in certain areas is actually causing or likely to cause these specific problems.
And that threshold might be hard to meet.
It can be, yeah. What one person finds annoying isn't necessarily legal nuisance or disorder. It's often a gray area.
And distinguishing lawful speech from unlawful, especially with religion. That sounds like a minefield.
It really is. Where does passionate religious expression cross the line into offensive or threatening speech, or even hate speech? These definitions are incredibly difficult to apply fairly, especially when dealing with deeply held beliefs that might challenge others.
So legal challenges seem like a real possibility.
Very much so. The sources indicate that religious groups are aware of their rights and might well contest restrictions they see as disproportionate or discriminatory. It's a major consideration for the council.
You know, listening to this, it strikes me how these aren't really new debates, are they? This whole idea of preaching in public spaces, it has history. What can we learn from looking back?
Oh, definitely not new. Street preaching in the UK goes way back. We're talking centuries. Its roots are really in the Reformation back in the 16th century.
With figures like Luther and Calvin.
Exactly. The Protestant reformers really emphasized getting the message out directly to people, not just inside church walls. It was a move towards more public, accessible religious communication. That really set a precedent.
So taking faith into the public square has a long pedigree.
A very long one. And it really took off in the 18th and 19th centuries during the Great Awakenings. Mm. Think of the big evangelical movements. They held massive open-air meetings.
In market squares, parks.
Yeah, wherever they could gather a crowd. It was a key way to reach people, especially those who maybe didn't go to church regularly, promoting moral values, spiritual revival.
So public spaces were seen as legitimate, even vital, for this kind of activity.
They absolutely were. Even early regulations, like an act in 1839 about public meetings, while setting some rules, essentially acknowledged that public speech, including religious speech, happened and was important.
Interesting. And how did that evolve into the modern day?
Well, fast forward to the 20th century, and you see those rise of secularism society becoming less dominated by religion, church, and state, separating more. That's when you start seeing more friction, more controversies about freedom of expression in public spaces.
Leading eventually to situations like the one we're seeing now.
Pretty much. The current debate in Farnborough and Aldershot is just the latest iteration of this long, ongoing conversation about religion's place in public life in the UK.
That history really does add depth. Okay, let's bring it back to the present day council. They're caught in the middle, aren't they? A real tightrope walk.
An incredibly difficult one. Local governments have this dual mandate, don't they? They have to uphold the law, protect freedoms, including religious freedom, but they also have to ensure public order, make sure public spaces are safe and comfortable for everyone.
And sometimes one group exercising its rights feels like it's stepping on another group's toes.
That's the classic conflict. That's the inherent tension they constantly have to manage. Finding that sweet spot between allowing free expression and maintaining a peaceful environment for all residents.
Yeah.
It's tough.
What are the risks for the council if they get this wrong? If they lean too heavily towards restrictions?
Well, several risks. They could face legal action, as we discussed, based on discrimination or infringing human rights. That's costly and damaging.
Mm-hmm.
They could alienate significant parts of their community, those religious groups who feel targeted or misunderstood. That damages trust and social cohesion.
Creates an us versus them dynamic.
Potentially, yes.
Yeah.
And it could lead to feelings of marginalization among believers. So yeah, there are definitely potential negative consequences they need to weigh very carefully.
So it demands a really careful approach. Understanding the law, yes, but also empathy, dialogue.
Absolutely. Empathy for different viewpoints is crucial. Open dialogue with everyone involved, and trying to craft policies that are as fair and inclusive as possible, knowing you probably can't please everyone perfectly.
Given all these difficulties with street preaching, maybe it prompts the question, are there other ways for religious groups to connect with people? Less controversial ways, perhaps?
That's a really important point. And yes, the sources hint at alternatives. One idea is focusing more on community events, things like workshops, maybe interfaith discussions, talks in community centers.
More structured, maybe less confrontational?
Potentially, yeah. Creating a space for dialogue rather than just proclamation. Another avenue is more private gatherings, prayer meetings, study groups, fellowship meals held in homes or hired halls.
More intimate settings?
Exactly. Focusing on building community and exploring faith in a less public-facing way.
And technology must play a role now, too.
Oh, for sure. Online platforms are huge. Social media, blogs, YouTube channels. Religious groups can reach loads of people that way.
Yeah.
They control the message. People engage on their own terms.
But maybe it lacks that personal touch.
That's the potential downside, isn't it? It can feel less personal than a face-to-face conversation. So it's probably not an either-or situation.
More like finding a mix of approaches. Balancing outreach goals with, I suppose, community comfort levels.
That seems sensible, yes. Being adaptable, thinking about the audience and the context.
Okay, finally, let's think about the impact on the religious communities themselves in Farnborough and Aldershot. If these restrictions do come into force, what might change for them?
Well, the impact could be pretty significant.
Mm-hmm.
Practically, they might have to rethink how they do outreach, community festivals or events usually held outdoors might need to be moved or redesigned?
Maybe more focus on those indoor events or online activities we just discussed?
Very possibly. A shift towards private venues or a bigger push into digital spaces seems likely.
And what about the people, the individuals within those communities? How might they feel?
Psychologically, socially, it could be tough for some. Believers who see public witness as vital to their faith might feel frustrated, maybe silenced, or like their rights are being trampled.
A sense of being marginalized?
Yes, that's a real risk. It could lead to them feeling less integrated into the wider community, perhaps more scrutiny from others. It really highlights how important communication is.
To avoid that kind of division deepening.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Keeping lines of communication open between religious leaders, community groups, the council. It's going to be crucial to navigate this without causing lasting damage to community relations.
So, wrapping this all up, what we're seeing in Farnborough and Aldershot, it really crystallizes that core dilemma, doesn't it? How does a diverse society balance individual freedom of expression, including religious expression, with the need for, well, community harmony and public spaces everyone feels comfortable in?
That is precisely the nub of it. And as the sources show, it's not just a local issue there. It echoes much bigger, ongoing conversations happening all over about how visible religion should be in modern, diverse cities and towns.
Yeah, it definitely feels like this story isn't over. The sources suggest we should expect, well, continued strong feelings on both sides, maybe those legal challenges we talked about, and probably a real need for the council to keep the dialogue going.
Seems very likely. And, you know, it leaves us with a big question, doesn't it? Thinking about that long history, the different views, how can communities best find that balance? Protecting essential freedoms while still creating public spaces that feel welcoming and inclusive for absolutely everyone.
Mm.
And maybe also, how might those alternative outreach methods, the community events, the online stuff, how might they change the relationship between faith groups and the wider public in the long run? Something to chew on, definitely.